Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's freaking go. So I got to start things off here with this hilarious comment in our PHL Discord via the Patreon service. Is Bernard Gooden prime Aaron Donald? The people are saying Gooden is Dorsey. Or, you freaking kidding me. This guy just continues to terrorize the LSU offensive line in practice. And it does look as if there is a stronger chance day by day that he is the best LSU defensive tackle on this team going into next season. So we will talk about that. Obviously, it's weird to talk about that because we said the same thing. He was a thumbnail image of our Sunday Night Live chat, but he is by far out of any LSU player that I have heard of at practice that continues to move up the stock up, stock down report. That is kind of awkward because I do get a lot of requests based on you guys asking me who's dominating practice, and I am not able to go to practice themselves. But I talk to media members that actually do go, and I read the practice reports, and obviously I speak to some players that have been in practice, and they relay me really good information. And I also say, never take too much away from any single practice report. I do want to talk about Chris Hilton because Chris Hilton honestly is dominating these LSU practices. And it is something of note that Aaron Anderson has been missing this week of practice. So when your best receiver, which I do believe is Aaron Anderson, misses time, the targets have to go elsewhere. The thing that makes Chris Hilton interesting, though, is he doesn't play the same position as Aaron Anderson. They're not going to play, they'll be on the field together quite a bit. So Chris is a very interesting subject to talk about, because I do feel Chris Hilton might play a little bit more slot than one would think. You know, I said this a few years ago about Malik Nabers going into 2023, that you really need to look out for him in the slot, because in 2022, we mostly used him as, hey, you go out wide, we're going to throw it to you on third and medium and go make a play. Whereas in 2023, we put him in the slot and he just cooked, right? Putting your best overall athlete at the slot can give you such big matchup disadvantages for the defense. The problem with that with Chris is I don't know if that is in his full repertoire, and I feel as if his value as a true outside X is just so valuable to this team, right? So based on what I've been hearing, the two wide receivers that have really had really good days over the past 48 to 72 have been Chris Hilton and Nick Anderson. Obviously, Barrion Brown is very interesting, and Destin Hill is also very interesting. Now, what do all those names have in common? Well, they are older. They are older players. They should be dominating some of these younger players, right? The guys that you are hearing having big, big, big practices. Bernard Gooden is in his fifth year of college football. So while he has looked amazing, it is important to point out that the young guys, some of which who played last season, have yet to hit their primes. So even though Bernard Gooden has been the star, the guy that continues to interest me, and some of it is the Jack Pyburn interview that Jordan brings up, the thing that got quite a bit of interest was one LSU staffer texted me after the Pyburn interview saying, hey, what he said about Dominic McKinley is true. And it's something, right? For those that missed it, and I probably should have clipped that. I didn't know where we would talk Dominic McKinley this early, but this is a stream of consciousness stream. I asked Jack Pyburn, who is the one guy? Did it tell us who is the one guy that has just been crushing it? And remember, he said this before Brian Kelly actually hit the podium and said basically the same thing. He said Dominic McKinley. He said Dominic McKinley is a guy that continues to impress him, and he's under the radar. I said, Jack, you could pick anybody, any side of the football. He said Dominic McKinley. So of the young guys, because you want older guys that are used to spring football, this is their final years, they understand the grind, you want those guys dominating. What really stands out to me, who are the younger guys that are playing really well? So Dominic McKinley is one. And then another is Kyle Parker, the wide receiver who we've always liked. And one and very important note about Kyle Parker is he has always been a bit younger for the class, right? He's always been a guy that went through high school at a younger age. And I won't go into that spiel about what all of that means, but TLDR, you have a later breakout if you are a younger player. And Kyle Parker has had some really good practices. So there you go. As has Destin Hill. The problem, though, with Kyle Parker and Destin Hill is that their roles do overlap with Aaron Anderson. So when Aaron gets healthy, that will suppress their snaps, right? So it is important to point that out, okay? Now, one other guy that is younger and has taken a whole lot of criticism on this channel, who is really starting to come into his own here, is Ashton Stamps. He's had a few good days mixed in there as well. So we'll pull up an actual practice report here in just a moment. But, you know, this might mean that Ashton Stamps is starting day one at outside corner. And I think that's where LSU will go. That Ashton Stamps will be one of these starting corners and the other will be Montour Delane. This is just my best guess. This is not inside information. There has been a lot of rotation. I don't want to turn this into an offensive line stream yet again, because if I do, it's just, you know, beating a dead horse. Because it is blatantly obvious that this group is struggling with LSU's very talented defensive line. Okay, so the truth is, Ashton Stamps, it's taken a lot of criticism from me personally with how he played towards the end of last season, but I've also defended him mightily with how things turned out for him after a somewhat solid start as a first-year starter. So Stamps, stock up for him. But then again, it's always strange because the number one thing I get requested at this time of the year is to do practice reports, practice videos. But I always say, even though I shouldn't, I should say, hey, it's very important for you to watch every last second and listen to every last little thing. These are practice reps. And we are going into like week two, week three of practice where you're going to have a lot more variance and who stands out one day and who stands out the other.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What I mean by that is, if you go up against the same people so many times, the worser of the two will sometimes win on that certain day, okay? And that's not really how football is, right? Where football, it's you play an opponent once and you don't play him again, more often than not, okay? So, there you go. Now, we're going to get to all of your questions tonight. We see a bunch of Bernard Gooden comments. It was a weird, what do they call this? Not the Streisand effect. What is it called? The whole Shazam Kazam thing. So there was a movie with Shaquille O'Neal called Kazam. But many of us remember it being Sinbad in a movie called Shazam that never existed. So it's not called the Streisand effect. It's called something else. I had that because I thought I had already cut a Bernard Gooden film study and released it. So yesterday, we re-released all our transfer portal film studies. It's all in one super long 2-hour video with some extra plays and commentary added in there as well. So if you've seen them all, there's a few extra plays in that mix as well. And I thought I released a Bernard Gooden one. What I think happened was I started editing one, and it was the Alabama game. And I was like, okay, this guy is actually good. I just don't think I ever finished it. So I go to my Final Cut folders, and lo and behold, I did start one. I just never finished it. So I might release it on Patreon. I might not. But man, he's impressive. The only thing is, he's not the biggest guy, and this offensive line for LSU is struggling. And once again, I don't want to do another pile on the LSU offensive line. They're having issues. But I do want to bring up, and this is critical as far as Bernard Gooden and these LSU defensive tackles having good days. The reason I am a bit skeptical about that is the middle of offensive lines this year in the SEC should actually be good this year, right? LSU actually will play quite a few experienced offensive lines, some of which we can say at this point are better than our offensive line. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean they're going to win the game or lose the game versus LSU or whatever. But you look at some schools that LSU doesn't play on the schedule, they return a lot of really good offensive lines. But then you look at some of the teams that LSU does play on the schedule. Yeah, Bernard Gooden played Alabama, and they did lose Tyler Booker, who many consider to be the best guard in the SEC. That's why he went in the first round last year. But what I would tell you is Alabama also returns Parker Brailsford, the best center in the SEC in the minds of many. Some think it's the center at Auburn, whoever you want to point to. So there is that. And then, of course, we will be re-releasing a clip, a short tomorrow, from our interview with Andy Staples. I appreciate everyone showing us love. Andy was on the channel, I think, a week ago today, him talking about the mobile quarterback thing and how much that concerns him about LSU's defense going into next season. So really excited about that. Also really excited about our guest coming up this week. Some familiar faces. Matthew Bruni tomorrow, and of course, that dude that we all love so much, Mr. Blake Ruffino, my best friend in LSU sports media. We go to Harry. I watched him in the first half of the Bama game, and three was a non-factor, three being Bernard Gooden. The Bama guard handled him easy. JT isn't ready for this. All right, I think he meant to say he isn't ready for this. Yeah, so I did feel he was better in the second half. I would agree with you. I do need to go back and watch it. It is cut on YouTube, offense, defense. You can just look it up for yourself. I think it was the fourth quarter that I was cutting up where he had a few good plays. I think Bama was backed up in their own territory. But overall, it is something that he has been dominating practices the way that he has been dominating them. Now, the next thing, we do appreciate, obviously, as it gets closer to season, our viewership goes up. Sunday was just an absolute crazy day. And I want to say I'm always super blessed that I get to do this before I get into the next topic. We do have a bunch of new viewers in here. You know, we had the farting controversy over the weekend. I do want to report that one of our big partners this year, Laborde Therapy Center, they sent me a long text about the farting incident from our Sunday night live stream, and they thought it was hilarious. Not necessarily you, but they just thought our chat was lit. So I love to see that. So there you go. Okay. So Harry is talking about Josh Thompson. Okay. So I do need to answer the second part of the Super Chat, and I was actually going to get into this next portion. I will never, ever give you commentary that I don't feel is truthful, okay? I also say, as far as, you know, you saying something about a player not being great, Harry was very respectful here. It is important to never get like too personal with commentary. Just say if you don't think a guy is good, he's just not good or whatever. Okay. We did have like a personal remark recently on one of our live streams. I just always say, please be respectful because players' parents and stuff like that do watch. Okay. So once again, you don't have to coddle anyone. I mean, everybody that starts on this team is making six figures, right? But, you know, please be respectful. And Harry is obviously very respectful because it is true. He is not lying about this. Now, I've not personally seen it, but it is overwhelming that the middle of LSU's offensive line has had some issues. Okay. So I'm going to give you what has been relayed to me, some things that Brian Kelly himself has said. He did speak to the media a little bit earlier. We might get to a few of those Brian Kelly clips a little bit later. Okay. So they are really open to trying a bunch of different pieces at guard. So there has been some heavy rotation at guard. All right, DJ Chester, Paul Mabinga, Cohen Echols, and Josh Thompson are all rotating at those guard spots. Now, if LSU were to ask me, and my opinion means nothing in the grand scheme of things, only to my viewers do I owe my super diehard truthful opinions, okay? Never have I tried to say, hey, I know more about this than this coach or whatever. But if there was an opportunity, and I will share this funny anecdote. I actually got an email back today. Remember, I applied for the LSU analyst, an LSU analyst role, which is my dream job, by the way. I applied for this job, and they said we couldn't take your application seriously because I didn't put my date of birth on there. I literally got that email this morning. So I will re-put my date of birth and reapply when the job opens back up, and maybe they consider me. I'll work pro bono. Seriously. What I would recommend I really don't know how to put this any other way other than you do need to learn from your mistakes. All right. If you were to ask me who I think the most talented offensive lineman is on this team, all right, my answer would be somebody that has not played a down yet. In fact, is not taken a fall college course yet. It's Kerryius Kern. And I think quite a bit about the Florida State game in 2022, where maybe if we would have started Emory Jones day one at right tackle, which they shouldn't have done. I will say that until I'm blue in the face, because he wasn't even practicing at tackle and he was a fallen rollie. That's too much to ask, right? But going into the game, and go back and listen to the commentary at the time, I did not think Cam Wire was ready for it. Cam Wire was a really solid LSU offensive tackle when we played not-so-great competition, and repeatedly when we played elite competition, he was torched. Obviously, Florida State was elite competition. Jared Verse, everyone thought was the best defensive end in the country before he ever played a college down. So I was very concerned. And Emory Jones would have held up better against Jared Verse. What I would say is be open to putting Kerryius Kern in the game pretty quickly versus Clemson. But I understand. True freshman on the road versus the best defensive line, right? Well, you got to play your best players. It's just how it is. It's just how it is. I think Kerryius Kern right now is the most talented offensive lineman on this team. I know he's the most athletically gifted offensive lineman on this team. I have heard good things about Weston Davis, but, you know, Jack Pyburn once again was out there making plays today. But I would seriously consider, if you don't feel comfortable about both your guard spots, go down swinging with your best players. Now, I will say, Kerryius Kern himself has had some hiccups and all of that. But, I mean, physically, I've said it time in and time out. And today on Patreon, I did release all my prospect grades, my own original prospect grades that take into your athleticism marks, takes into the actual recruiting rankings. Never am I going to admit that I'm smarter than everybody at On Three, Rivals, 247, and that's stupid. So I have to factor in how they feel about the prospects. Kerryius Kern ended up being number one. That's how high I am on him. So look, I know it's not been the smoothest sailing for him either, but it is a little bit different because he was here in the spring. So I am a little bit more open to that if we continue to see that the middle of the LSU offensive line has had their issues. You know, Braylon Moore getting used to being the center now. He is our center. Brian Kelly confirmed that a little bit earlier. So we'll see. We'll see. But it is a little bold. It is a little bold. And I also understand LSU not wanting to do that. Okay, but that's just how I see it right now. Yeah, and Alexander, the problem is there is a bigger need at tackle right now because they have so many guard types of bodies, right? So, yeah, I mean, the LSU offensive line is the biggest. You can make, and this sounds bold, but I do think the LSU offensive line is the single biggest position group question mark maybe in the entire SEC. Because if this unit finds a way to be good, LSU will probably be the pick for everyone to win the SEC. I'm serious. Like, I I don't think a lot of people feel comfortable with Georgia, Alabama, and Texas all having first-year starters at QB, even though all three of them are promising, in particular that kid from New Orleans who starts for Texas and who I think is going to be really good this year. Okay? So, there you go. Randy says, if LSU struggles again in 2025 after hiring Atkins, it's time to look long and hard at Brad Davis. Yeah, I disagree with that for a few reasons. The biggest thing in offensive line is recruiting, and Brad Davis is the ultimate relationship builder. Some guys just have it. Some do, and he's got it. It's not LSU just paying for the most. It's offensive lineman telling me, hey, if Brad is still there, I'm going. So Brad's locked in. You just got to hope that this unit meshes better together. And I hope that is the case. You know, it is important to point out that, yeah, a guy like Emory Jones would be the best offensive tackle. LSU tried to retain him. But at the same time, as high as I was on Emory Jones, as high as a lot of us were on Emory Jones, he had a tough year last year. So the gap there at right tackle, yeah, Emory would be better than any offensive tackle that we have now. But I will say Weston Davis, it's gotten better, right? He had some tough spring days. But then again, he was going up against Jack Piper. It's gotten a little better. Tyree Adams has a lot of talent. So let's just hope we get there. Okay. Let's go to LA Mom. She says, BK is known for putting offensive line and tight ends into the NFL. I think he can get the O-line going. Okay. Now, something else that I do want to include based on practice reports and other shenanigans that are going on at LSU's practice, I do like that they're putting DJ Pickett on LSU's best receivers. You know, this is a true freshman going up against year five top 100 recruits. So he's had a few reps versus Chris Hilton. You know, I still think DJ Pickett is going to be good, but I want him to a certain degree to be dealing with adversity because he had such a strong spring. I honestly think it's better for him to have some tough days here. And the reason is because on the road versus Clemson, let's say we do need to play him, they're going to beat him. So oftentimes it's not the first time you get beat. It's how you respond after getting beat in. So I'm excited, and I'm still really excited about DJ Pickett being a year one guy and playing a lot for LSU this next season. Let's go to Jeffrey. Everybody, welcome Jeffrey to the channel. Oh, man, I got to take your photo down because I missed that total eclipse last year because where I live, there was clouds. So I miss, and I was in a good region for total, what do they call it, total eclipse? And your profile photo is a total eclipse? Yeah, I mean, you can win a game, though, with your offensive line having a tough game. You could still find a way to win. You know, you're going to need a few miracles to go your way. But remember, as bad as LSU played in 2022 versus Florida State, where their defensive line did what we expect Clemson's, what some of us expect Clemson's defensive line to do versus LSU's offensive line, LSU was still in position to go out there and win that game. You know, they were a two-point try away with all those bad special teams mistakes from winning that game. So, yeah, I mean, you can find a way. You can definitely find a way. Now, Tyler, what's good, man? I hate I missed you this weekend. I really, really, really did. Tyler in Shreveport. So there you go. Now, next thing I do need to do before we talk to our friends at Labor Therapy, I need to know how many PHLers are in Memphis. I say Memphis. West Monroe, or in the Monroe region. Because I was approached about potentially doing a PHL meetup there. So let me know. I would love to go. I always love going to Shreveport. We have a lot of viewers in Shreveport. And even on short notice, you guys showed up and showed out. I felt bad because, you know, I mentioned this briefly. A viewer brought a treasure chest of LSU goodies, and I couldn't take it home because I didn't have a car. I did have a car. I just couldn't fit it. That's how awesome this treasure chest was. But it worked out because I was able to give it away. And one lucky person got to take home that treasure chest. But if you are in the West Monroe region, let me know. Because I kind of just want to go, you know, be kind of last minute. Again, I don't want to announce anything and people go and then it not work out. But if you are in the West Monroe region, let me know, because I would love to do a meetup there. We've never done one there. Sibley says the average score last year in the SEC was 30 points a game, 13 average victory margin. Is it important to score a lot and hope time runs out? This is now the SEC, so defense is just hard. Yeah, this could be a rough year for SEC defenses defensively, right? So this is big. I really do think this is big. Let's take a look at the SEC schedule matrix here. And what you'll see is quite a few teams having to replace very key defensive players, meaning there is a lot of question marks in those defenses. Tennessee essentially loses two first-round defensive linemen. How is that group going to respond, right? The Tim Banks defense, they run a lot of middle of the field close. If you do that, you got to have good pass rush. Jermon McCoy might not be fully healthy. That defense needs repairing. Texas, their defense was rated by the NFL draft, but they should be pretty good, in particular with the Colin Simmons, Michael Taft, and so on and so on. Texas A&M's defense, they themselves lost basically their entire defensive line. We'll see how that works out for them. You get to Oklahoma, who's on our schedule. Denny Stutzman, out. Billy Bowman, out. Really, really, really good players. The heart and souls of those defenses, right? They do return our Mason Thomas. You then get to Ole Miss. That's the biggest defensive question mark in the entire SEC. I mean, they lost all those elite, elite, elite pieces on their defense last year. Princely gone. Ivy gone. Walter Nolan gone. Chris Poupaul gone. Number 9, Trey Amos from Louisiana. Sore subject gone. Trey Washington gone. A nice safety for them. So there you go. And then Kentucky, they lose their best defensive lineman. Georgia has two defensive linemen go first round. The defenses, though, I think, have a chance to really surprise people. Florida's defense, I think, is going to be good. Auburn's defense, I think, has a chance to be special. Alabama's defensive line, Tim Keenan in the middle, they should be fine. I just don't think we're ever going to get back to the Saban-era defenses. We'll see what Georgia's defense does this next year. But with all the quarterback talent, even though there is a lot of quarterback mystery, this could be a very offensive-laden year. It could be. But to your point, from an LSU vantage point, there's not many quarterbacks you want more in a shootout than Garrett Nussmeier. And the one thing that I like about Garrett compared to someone like a Lenore Sellers is that there are going to be games where LSU starts slow. Lenore Sellers in a comeback situation, well, the QB run game just isn't as effective in a comeback situation. there's not many quarterbacks really you want more in any era of college football than Garrett Nussmeier. Why? Because he's elite on third and longs, which you're in a lot of in 2 minute comeback situations. And, you know, his legs just aren't as important, right? You're playing a lot of soft zone and you know, you want guys that can fit into tight windows and matriculate the football down the field, because you're going to see a lot of soft quarters, prevent-ish kinds of defenses. So I like that as far as shootouts are concerned. And that's one thing I'm really, really, really excited about with Garrett Nussmeier. Okay? E. Wright wants to know, are there any reports on Deshaun Womack and Sage Ryan and how they are doing over at Ole Miss? Well, guess what? I actually do. It is amazing that you bring that up, because I actually do have a very important scouting report from Oxford. And a lot of you know I was just in Oxford. Okay. I will answer that very important question coming up right after this. Are you missing that sweet swing? If pain is holding your golf game back, you must check out the full simulator at the Lafayette location of Laborde Therapy Center. Yes, Chase and his team built this simulator to go along with a full set of programs catered to your needs. Yes, this entire team at Laborde Therapy worked hard to fix that back, your elbow, shoulders, wrists, knees, toes, it doesn't matter. At their Lafayette location, 337-981-4053. Call today. But what if you don't golf? And what if you don't live in Lafayette? No problem. They fix anything therapy related. Book today, LaborDTherapy.com, with locations in Cairncrow, Youngsville, Morgan City, and Crowley. LaborDTherapy.com. L-A-B-O-R-D-E therapy.com. Let's go. All righty. Here's my response. I don't give a damn about Sage Ryan and Deshaun Womack at Ole Miss. The LSU Monster, Flex City, says, I get no response, I guess. Man, I shouted you out at the very beginning of today's live stream, and you were the star of the Sunday night show. Thanks once again to our friends at Laborde Therapy. They said that they will see your farting problems out. Okay. So Evie Wright, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I don't care. I hate that you super chatted right when I said it was going to be a joke. So if you want me to send you this dollar back, because I don't have a Deshaun Womack and Sage Ryan report, I would have loved to have seen Womack back. I think all four of our defensive ends we have now are better than him. Okay, our top four. And I think a few others could be better. And Sage Ryan. Now, my hearts go out. The tragedy that happened to one of the Ole Miss defensive backs who is from Louisiana lost his life. My heart goes out to Lane and the staff and that team from a few weeks ago. And the Etna Carr grads that do watch the show. So there you go. Let's go to Alexander. Clemson has lost three out of their last four openers. That's a good point. They played Georgia last year, though. I mean, and they also played Georgia in another one of those. And DJ Uiagalelei was their quarterback. So, you know, it's the same thing with the LSU season openers with us. LSU's lost five in a row. But damn, there's some good teams. Some really good teams. Let's go to Go Hard or Go Home. Help me understand the Clemson front seven hype. They ended up giving up 300 yards rushing to a Texas team who struggled to run the ball. They had just as many sacks as LSU's defense. So, let me say this. There are some sharps, some national college football analysts who agree with you. Bear Felicia, who used to be with Game Day, now is with Fox, is not buying the Clemson hype. I was listening to Stucky recently. I would love to have Stucky on. I think he's a very interesting guy. He also is fading Clemson more so from the Cade Klubnik angle. He says he thinks Cade could be a little overvalued. Here's the thing, and I've been asked a few times about Garrett versus Cade, who I would have between the two of them. You know, for me, I think Garrett played better versus the better teams on his schedule than Cade did versus the better teams on his schedule. The caveat to that, though, is I felt Cade played really well versus Texas, made some really high-level, high-leverage throws in some big spots. But I this could come back to bite me in the ass because I'm such a big Garrett guy. And it's not just me taking my guy over Cade. It's just Garrett. I just think Garrett's a better quarterback. I really do. And there is something to that. You know, with Garrett, you do have the Ole Miss game, which was absolutely insane. You do have the South Carolina comeback, which was also absolutely insane. But what about the interception at the end of the game? That was called back for the penalty or whatever. Mm-mm. Not a big deal to me. It's not. It's not. Right? Did we get lucky and get bailed out? Yes. But I just don't know how anyone could watch that full game knowing what we were up against, especially knowing what that South Carolina team ended up being, how good they were, and not walk away watching that game saying, holy hell, thank God Garrett Nussmeier was our quarterback. There's not many quarterbacks that would have got us out of that hole, and Garrett got us out of that freaking hole. That seems like biased confidence. And I am a Cade believer. I do think Cade is a top five quarterback in college football. He's just running up against, to me, the best. The other thing I would say, and Jeffrey seems like he's a pretty sharp viewer. Hope we see you around more often. Don't miss Matthew Bruni tomorrow, or Bruni. He's awesome. You don't want to miss Bruni. And you definitely don't want to miss Blake on Thursday. Holy crap. Y'all, that Texas offensive line was good. Now, you want to get into a debate. Blake and I have gone back and forth on how good we thought Texas offensive line was last year. So there you go. One thing I will say, so Braylon Moore has taken, you know, some criticism based on just camp reports. I still believe in Braylon Moore. You can go listen to my full initial Virginia Tech scouting report on him from yesterday's live stream. I think it's like midway through. You know, the thing that I like about Braylon Moore is I do think his football IQ is really good. I really do think so. I like the fact that he started his career off as a guard, and then he moved over to center last year, and you could see him understanding how all three of those roles are supposed to pan themselves out. One minor thing, and this is very minor, it's something that I think about quite a bit, is I do think some offensive linemen mesh better with some running backs compared to others. And if you were looking for a comp to Caden Durham, look no further than Bashiel Tootin of Virginia Tech, who Braylon Moore blocked for last year. They are similar style players, and I think Caden Durham's better than him. And Bashiel Tootin was a pretty outrageous draft pick by the Jacksonville Jaguars last year. They spent a lot of draft capital to get him, and I think they kind of overdrafted him. But Bashiel Tootin, if you were to ask Braylon Moore this, does Caden Durham remind you of him at all? I think he would say yes. So I do like that. right? And then, you know, I've mentioned the Jaden Blue thing as well. I think Caden Durham is somewhat similar to Jaden Blue, and Jaden Blue just torched him. So, yeah, I mean, Clemson, yeah, Texas ran all over him, but Clemson's going to be at home. And our offensive line's not as good as Texas's offensive line. But I think the biggest thing, and I understand we're getting a bunch of new viewers because we are closer to the season, we did have Max Toscano on not too long ago. And Max and I, you know, I'm a film analyst. Max is a real, real, real deal film analyst. I think of myself being good. Max is S-tier football knowledge, right? So we had a... I should clip this, but I did one of these things I do with guests sometimes. I said, on the count of three, name who you think the best play caller is in the SEC. And so we said, 1, 2, 3, Steve Sarkisian. Over Petrino, who was excellent last year. Over Lane, who was excellent last year. Over anyone. Even Heupel. So they also have the artist, or in Sarkisian's viewpoint, he would actually be the producer. All right. So, you know, last year, Steve Sarkisian was Manny Fresh and Joe Sloan was SoundCloud-ish, if you will. But I am higher on Sloan going into this next year. You throw in Alex Atkins into that mix. Joe is also a very popular guy. I think Joe's a very nice guy. But he's under a lot of pressure to succeed. And with a quarterback like Garrett Nussmeier, the only thing you really hope for is, yes, LSU to have some type of running game, but just for things to be a little bit easier on Nuss, right? Because it does sound like I bail Nuss out of his turnovers quite a bit. And I actually feel the opposite. I feel like I've been too critical of some of Nuss's interceptions during commentary during this offseason. But I think of the bad interceptions. Both the ones versus Ole Miss were really bad. The second one versus South Carolina was really bad. The Texas A&M ones were really bad, in particular the first two. So yeah, they're bad. But this is why it's very important to watch full games and get the full context. There's just so much on them. There's so much on them week in, week out to go out there and do the damn job. Okay? Beside of Joseph, PHL legend, Blanche, who is in for the full two-hour live stream. I say live stream. Film study last year. Alexander, so many PHL icons in here. Chance, yeah, dude, I saw my guy George Kittle getting mad that they banned those salts. Tyler, yeah, I don't know. Nothing's final. We're still working some things out, but it would not be this Saturday. It would be the next, potentially in Monroe, West Monroe region. I want to do it, but, you know, with these things, you always got to make sure everybody's on the same page here. Fabian Lovett. Whew. Do you think Peter Woods is better than Fabian Lovett, Brian? I think he is. I do think Lovett is a tougher week one matchup. Actually, no, I know. Peter Woods is really good. But I do think Fabian Lovett is like very, very, very underrated. Okay. The luck was that last pass by Bama against Auburn. Man, I think about that Milroe play all the time. All the time. I remember where I was watching that play unfold. I couldn't believe I was cheering that hard for a Hugh Freeze team. I really couldn't believe it. Now, tomorrow's live stream will center a little bit more around Harlan Berry. So you go to Patreon, patreon.com/LSU football. I gave my grade on Harlan Berry. it wasn't like what a typical like 5-star grade would be, but it was still very good. And it was noteworthy. And Moscona, I think it was Matt Moscona, it could have been somebody else, asked Brian Kelly earlier today about Harlan Berry getting some more high quality reps, maybe some ahead of Caleb Jackson. And Brian Kelly spoke glowingly about Harlan Berry. He also spoke, well, he didn't speak, but a guy that we've not talked a lot about is JT Lindsey out of Alexandria. And this happens quite a bit. You know, sometimes it's not the running back you think that steps up to the forefront. You know, friend of the channel, Jeremy Hill, was he fifth string back? The good thing about this RB room is that RB2 role is set up for someone to take it. One thing I will say, though, about Caleb Jackson that will help him out is he does build himself differently. His build is different than the other running backs in this room. He's obviously the biggest. I do think of him and Caden Durham, he was the better of the two pass protectors, but I would prefer Caden to be the RB in the 2-minute drill. And I do think Durham, it's just natural for a true freshman to get better in pass protection from year one to year two. So, you know, Harlan Berry's moving up the ranks here. And that's not really a shock. He was a spring enrollee. He's a 5-star, and he glides. And what it was, something else is he is a different style of runner than Caden Durham. Durham has more straight line speed. Obviously, a guy like Harlan Berry is going to have a little bit more wiggle. So a guy like Caden Durham is going to run a little bit more like a Jamaal Charles, where a running back like Harlan Berry is going to run like a LaShawn McCoy, if you will, with a lot more wiggle in his game. Yeah, and, you know, the Caleb Jackson hype train was pretty insane going into last year. And I was a believer. I was a believer. So should I double down here and say Caleb Jackson is going to shock some people? Sure. I should. But you never know. Running back is a volatile, opportunistic position. I will say, like, Caden Durham had some tough practices once he got to LSU, like, in the early portions of it. And I dug my heels in and said, don't let that deter you. It was the Jamar Chase's dropping passes in preseason games level of panic. And I was like, no, Caden Durham is a real deal. You get some things right, you get some things wrong, and there you go. You get a Vegas question. Vegas odds call for a 31-27 Clemson W. Can our defense hold them to 26? I think that they will. I could also see this game being a little bit more sluggish and clunky, if you will, even though there is so much quarterback and wide receiver talent mixed in. All right, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10, we'll answer as many as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. This comes in from CFB season. Kyrus Kern's going to push somebody out. Now, one of my favorite things is like sports media news. I've never met him before. We do follow each other on Twitter, but I've never spoke to him directly. We do have a bunch of mutual friends in media, some of which have been guests on this channel. But congrats to Josh Pate. He's moving on to On Three. Now, he didn't need my congrats. He was already, you know, killing it when it comes to college football coverage. Obviously, that is my goal, to be a national college football commentator, whether it's doing play-by-play or whatever. I just want to do it on a national scene while continue doing PHL until the end of time, right? There will always be some variation of PHL unless I actually work for a team. So, you know, my goal is to get as far as I can in football, whatever level it may be. You know, I'm always open. I love college football media. I do, though. So On Three, I'm right here. 247, I'm right here. I got an SEC channel that does good. So congrats to Josh Pate, though, for real. It is amazing and inspiring what he's built. And I know a lot of you watch him. Ellie Mama, I know, watches him religiously. It is interesting, though. Like, I do get a lot of questions about, hey, what do I need to do to start a college football channel? Just do it. Honestly, just do it. There are days I think that I'm great at this, and then other days I'm like, oh. But honestly, 99% of the time, I'm pretty confident. Jay Red, let's go. I shared your story on Sunday. Like Clemson literally got destroyed by Louisville at home. What's up, Bilbo? Everybody, welcome Bilbo to the channel. We got a few mutual friends. Bilbo's a 104.5 guy. Welcome. I miss my dog, T-Bob. I'm not going to Clemson. And I shared this because I shared Jared's story. Jared Addison, he just super chatted as well. He has become one of my closest friends outside of even doing this, right? Now, he was first a big fan of the channel, but then he's become one of my really personal closest friends, right? And Jared had been telling me forever that he had been wanting to go to the Clemson game, and he had to change his plans because the tickets are too expensive, right? You know, when you go to a season opener, there's never a season opener that's not ridiculously expensive to get into. Like Baylor Auburn is a hard ticket, at least I think. because everybody's hyped up, everybody's 0-0. So I am not going. And it's funny because my best friends, who was in my wedding's family, are huge Clemson boosters. Huge. So I would have had a way, but the way I've understood it is like there's a lot of my PHLers that are going because they have an in, or it makes sense because they live in Atlanta and then you could drive and you make that a day trip. So here's Jared. So now Jared is finally get to tell a story. He was very emotional about this. You know, he's not missed an LSU season opener in 20 years. So here's Bilbo. We were spending $300+ on upper decks. No. Another thing that makes it more difficult for me, but not for others, is that this game is on a Saturday. So a big benefit of the past couple of seasons was this game being played on a Sunday, right? Season openers played on a Sunday. I actually prefer the Sunday from an LSU vantage point because there's a lot more brand equity because you have a standalone game on that Sunday night. But, you know, my SEC viewers want film studies from the other SEC teams on the Saturday night games, right? So I had to today turn down an opportunity because it conflicted with that same Saturday, right? There's just so much stuff, including obviously the LSU Clemson game. What was cool about Vegas was where I went, where I was able to stay, I was able to set up like the PHL, like kind of studio, if you will. And it just worked out. But, you know, the thing that really pisses me off is that this game isn't on a Sunday because there's just so many other good games going on. I am happy, though, that Tennessee plays in the morning. I'm really excited to see what they look like on that Saturday. And Texas and Ohio State is a morning kick as well. Twelve of you on a bachelor trip staying outside of Clemson and going for the game. 12 on a bachelor trip? 12? That's a pretty big number. 12. That lets me know you're in your 20s. Because if you do a bachelor trip in your 30s, you're not going to have 12. You're lucky to have 3. My bachelor trip from a few years ago was the best weekend of my life. Don't tell my wife. It was better than my wedding. Kidding. I shouldn't say that. But it was epic. There were 6 of us. I think that's a perfect bachelor trip size is 6. But 12 for a college football game? Do you have a tailgate set up? Because I would definitely want to have a tailgate set up. Oh, okay. He's a Clemson. Oh, okay. Well, that's epic. That's going to be pretty fun. So this is what Jared is doing. Mississippi State, Southern Miss at 11 a.m., $48 a ticket. Jared, remember what our Sunbelt guest said? He thinks Southern Miss is going to win that game. Jace Max thinks Carter, so Jace Max actually found the video that I shot outside of football, Ryan Trahan style. And yeah, it was something. It was something. Okay. Yeah. I don't think it was that good, even though I spent months putting it together. But Jace Max, should I drop the link so everybody can go flame it? Southern Miss for the dub. Score prediction for LSU Clemson. That'll come out sooner, but right now I do have Clemson winning the game. I do. Flame me all you want. Okay? Now, don't forget, we'll drop the Andy Staples clip in the morning. Please go follow me on social media at Power Hour LSU. Once again, that is at Power Hour LSU. Okay? Oh, the top three projected passing leaders in the SEC. Nuss from New Orleans, or Nuss from Lake Charles, Arch from New Orleans, and Chapin from Shreveport. It's good stuff. I actually have a Blake Chapin autograph. I do. I'm hoping he's going to pop off this year. I could sell it for a profit. I got it out of a dollar box. Jeffrey says, oh, yeah, I'll hate you for this. You took Clemson at 2.5, and you might take, oh, you might get a middle, bro. You might get a middle. That would be sexy. Yeah, it is up to 3.5, but if it does get up to 4.5, I could see a hedge. One final thing before I do go. And this is something I get in arguments with all the time. The best league in America. The most entertaining, chaotic college football league this year will be the Big 12. I'm not saying it's the best in terms of quality But I think the Big 12 has a chance to be just such a huge, gigantic cluster. Some of it's just going to be ugly football. But I do believe in the media pushing that conference, saying how chaotic and nasty it's going to be. I believe it. I do. Yeah, so that's the thing. So, like, Bilbo, who's spending $300 for that upper deck seat, if LSU wins, be honest, unless it's like Mason Taylor in overtime level suite, or that level of a game versus that level of an opponent, winning on the road, there's nothing better as a fan. Nothing better. I'm serious. It is better than sex. It is. It is better than Mario Kart on N64. When you're in a road stadium and your team wins. Oh, boy. Holy crap. It is better than the Backstreet Boys in the Sphere. Who, by the way, I saw this. One of my best friends lives in Chicago. He had the Backstreet Boys backstage at the Sphere make their baby announcement. You know, I'm a Backstreet guy. That was pretty cool. So shout out to you, Backstreet Boys. Nick Carter, if you're watching this. My brother, my Carter brother. But there's nothing better. There's nothing better than winning, being in it. Sibley, tell him. It is better than fornication. When you're on the road, In a visiting stadium. Nothing's better. Better than your child walking across the stage at graduation. But yeah, to answer your question, LSU monster. If LSU blows Clemson out, let's just say they win by 21. I don't know. I don't know what I'd do. I'd give out something in my collection I shouldn't give out. But literally, better than sex is being on the road when your team wins. Against a good team. Or a respectable team. Now, big media news. You're talking about Josh Pate. It is official. ESPN is acquiring the NFL Network. That's just big. That's just big. And there's just no other way around it. It's huge. It's huge. Now, why is it so big? Pause. I will answer that in the Discord right now. This is, I'm telling you, my favorite Discordian, he's more entertaining than me, and I do this for a living. Sam, dude. Sam is so legit, okay? Is Bernard Gooden, Aaron Donald? I laugh so freaking hard at this comment. Come join us. Every new Patreon gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail from me. So, there you go. It is power hour LSU boom top super chatters. Jared coming in hot on the Venmo. Harry holding it down. Sibley, EW, and Alexander. Now, if you're a fan of me, I guarantee it you'll be an even bigger fan of Blake Ruffino. He's live right now on AYS. If you don't want live commentary, you want film study or more of me, you can check out our 2-hour film study. That's free. It's all free on YouTube. But if you want my grades on every single prospect in the class, Cliff Notes, the highest ranked player, DJ Pickett, was not my number one player. He was my number two player. Still really good grade. Go to patreon.com/LSU football. You get that Joe Burrow card, all the good stuff. Tonight, we are doing chicken enchiladas. Let's go.